You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Future Stars on SEN with John Donohoe and James Pitcher.
Welcome everyone to the first episode of Future Stars here on SEN, and it's all brought to you by Bravo Management, the player management agency looking after the current and future stars of the AFL and AFLW, such as Darcy Moore and Monique Conti. John Donohoe is my name. I'm joined here by one of the great player managers, and he's just in terms of all he's across all players and young players and AFL as well. James Pitcher with me. Hello, Pitch.
Thanks, JD. Pleasure to be here and looking forward to a really big season.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking forward to what we've got over the footy season as a whole here, because we've got the Coates Talent League just kicking off. And we're going to bring this each and every week on SEN. People can keep across the next generation of talent, because this time of year, the AFL season started and everyone's wanting to know who the number one pick is even this early in the season.
It's unbelievable that, what are we, round three of the AFL, and they're already starting to talk about it. There's a lot of pressure on these young boys and girls coming into the season. And you're right, the season for the boys kicked off on the weekend and made a good start to the year. Plenty of these players, and they'll be looking forward to really making a fast start over these next 4 weeks.
Absolutely. You were down at a couple of games. We're going to get to those in the back half of the program. You were down at a couple of games in the southeast over the weekend, but it kicked off and like the Sandringham Dragons look to be still, they won the premiership last year, but they look to be, I guess, the out and out leaders of this tournament and this competition once more.
Yeah, you're right, JD. I think going into the season, there was probably three teams that really stood out. Sandy Dragons, again, they've just turned into an absolute factory of talent that comes through there. There's argues to say that they could have up to a dozen in the draft radar at the moment. Same with Eastern Rangers. They've got a really strong squad and come into the season with good hype. And probably the other one is Dandenong Stingrays as well.
Absolutely. So there was plenty of action over the weekend. What we'll do is we'll go through the scores from the matches in round one. I think it's important we keep everyone across what each game's doing. And then in the second segment, we'll get you to give us your thoughts on a few different games. So the Northern Knights, they flex their muscles. 19-9-123 over the Western Jets, 12-8-80 at Trevor Barker Oval on Saturday afternoon. So a nice start from the Northern Knights boys. If we just pull up who had an impact on the game here for the Northern Knights. Thomas Sims, Zach Johnson, Lucas McInerney, Roman Moxon, Aaron Doyle and Seb Murphy, all in the best players there. So they got themselves off to a good start, the Knights.
Well, that was a game, actually, I know we'll go into it a bit more detail later, JD. That was a game that I was at.
Yep.
And the Jets actually started well. I hadn't even taken my seat before Keaton Matafai Forbes had already hit the scoreboard. But the Knights were probably just too good in the end and ran away.
Absolutely. Another game, Murray Bushrangers way too strong for the, I love this, the Tassie Devils Talent League. How good. They've already rebranded themselves the Tassie Devils Talent League team. 15-10-100 to 11-7-73. So a four-goal burst in the first quarter got them started. And from there, Tassie were playing catch-up the whole time and weren't able to get past the might of the Murray Bushrangers. I know you weren't at this game, but do you have any idea of how it all panned out this one?
Well, they do. The Bushies have got some key position talent, I should say, that will be have their name up there for the draft. Probably not as stronger team this year for the Tassie Devils. Obviously, last year when we had McKertrude,
yes,
and Leake and Sanders and Shoemakers and even Callanan, who was unlucky, they're probably not stacked with as much top-end talent, but it'll be interesting to see how they fare.
Absolutely. I feel like a team we're going to talk a lot about this year is the Sandringham Dragons. They are stacked, as you told me, over the weekend. 16-14-110 to 9-6-60 over the quarter cannons. Levi Ashcroft, best on ground. And this is going to be a name that comes up throughout the season. And obviously we know his ties to the Brisbane Lions. So they might get another free hit in one of the Ashcroft boys. But we'll get into it more depth in a little while. But just some early thoughts on this match.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's a plethora of talent that the Dragons have. We will go into a bit more detail. The Cannons actually had a really fast start again. Mm. They kicked with the wind and kicked four goals in the first quarter, but the class of Dragons just too good in the end.
Yeah, they've had a really strong program the last 3 or 4 years and obviously culminating in the premiership last year. They're going to be hard to beat this year, and I think they had a – you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but they had a good number of players represented at the AFL draft that went to different AFL teams, and that looks like it won't change again in 2024. The Eastern Rangers, who I think were in the grand final against the Sandy Dragons last year, 13-4, so they were accurate, 13-4-82. Beat the Oakley Chargers 7-12-54. Josh Smiley, who is the early pick. I saw Cal Toomey's tweet. The early pick, it's bizarre. It's round one, and it's round three in the AFL, and already we're talking about the early pick for the number one draft pick in 2024. But that's how important it is at this time of year even.
Yeah, and that's there's a weight of expectation for some of these young talent that they need to carry. So, yeah. And we'll go into the season and I suppose the importance of having a consistent year, but he is one that definitely put his name up in lights on Sunday.
Absolutely. It was tight early in this game and right up to halftime. So 4-3, the Eastern Rangers led at quarter time, and then it was 49-42 at the half. And then they were able to pull away. It wasn't until the third quarter where they booted, 3-0 to take a 68-44 lead at three-quarter time. So you imagine the Eastern Rangers will probably be around the mark again this year after last year's grand final loss.
Look, they'll be a little bit fortunate too, the Eastern Rangers. They do have a strong squad. I'd have to do the numbers on how many private school boys will be in that.
Yeah. That's tough as well.
Exactly. Not as much of an impact as, obviously, Sandy Dragons and Oakley Chargers will have. They just outworked Oakley. And really spread the ground well.
That might be something we discuss throughout the year as well. The impact that these, because of the pull that the APS schools have, that they basically demand that you have to play school sport on a Saturday afternoon, it's going to have a massive impact come the middle of the year on certain teams. The Bendigo Pioneers, 10-13-73, defeated the GWV. I always get that wrong. The Greater Western Victoria Rebels, 7-13-55. So a nice start there for the Bendigo Pioneers.
Yeah, there was. It's always interesting with these country teams. They can be... Well, obviously, the whole competition is hard to assess because we've got so much turnover of list each year. But I would have anticipated Rebels winning that game. So they'd be disappointed with that outcome.
Absolutely. And the final game of the weekend was the Geelong Falcons, 9-6-60 in a tight one against the Dandenong Stingrays, 8-9-57. So the Stingrays got off to a really good start, 3-4-22-1 straight at quarter time. They also led at halftime, 5-6-3-3. They led at three-quarter time as well, and the Falcons have come home with a wet sail, kicking 4-1 in the last quarter to win the game.
I wasn't at this game, JD. It was down at Deakin Uni in Geelong there. I think the Stingrays, look, they'll both be very good teams, both these teams, but I think Stingrays would have fancied themselves going in there.
Absolutely. So that was round one of the Coates Talent League. Each week we'll take you through all the games and give you a thought on them. And obviously Pitch will be down at certain games each and every week. Before we head to a break, Pitch, what are we looking for in guys this time of year? Because it is so early in the season, but what are the big identifiers for you guys, especially looking for new talent coming through?
Yeah, look, there's some guys last year would have identified themselves and been in the Vic Metro and Vic Country squads, as well as the or Metro Hubs, I should say, as long as the National Academy. But we've effectively got 3 or 4 games before APS starts. So, you know, this is heavily scouted these first 3 to 4 weeks, and then obviously the talent will peel off. But you really want to make sure that you play well in this first month, because you want to put your name up in lights to make sure you are playing National Carnival in the midpoint of the year.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great season across, 19 weeks or 20 weeks of football. So we will keep an eye on it. And I think that's why we wanted to bring this sort of show to the airwaves, because a lot of the time, it's not until the back end of the AFL season we start people start focusing on who their team might take, where they're going to have the pick on draft night. But it's good that we can bring them a little bit of information about a player or two each week.
Absolutely. And I think there's been some... You know, you mentioned Cal Toomey's list before, and Riley Beveridge. They make sure they really get out there and see these guys and identify them from a young age. But yeah, we are looking for guys that we may not have just been added to squads, maybe not have played as a bottom ager, and hence we're looking for some of those 17-year-olds that might have made an impact as well.
Absolutely. It is Future Stars here on SEN. It's great to bring this to you each and every week. Don't forget, we are here thanks to Bravo Management, the player management agency looking after the current and future stars of the AFL and AFLW, such as Darcy Moore and Monique Conti. John Donohoe and James Pitcher back with you on the other side of this.
Future Stars on SEN with John Donohoe and James Pitcher.
Yeah, big welcome back to Future Stars. Thanks to Bravo Management, the player management agency looking after the current and future stars of the AFL and AFLW, such as Darcy Moore and Monique Conti. They don't get any bigger than those two stars. John Donohoe, James Pitcher with you, Pitch. We went through the results of all those games a moment ago, but you were at three games over the weekend, so you... Geez, you spread yourself around. I know a few of them were down Trevor Barker way. Is that going to be a hub for them? Are they going to play a lot of games down that way, sort of RSEA Park, Trevor Barker area this year?
Yeah, JD, the juggle for grounds is really tough, especially because we'll talk a little
local
bit about
local footy as well and everything.
Yeah, and the girls coming through. But I think when I was at Trevor Barker on Saturday morning, there was a girls game straight after, then an under-16 trial after that.
Yep.
So the scarcity of grounds is quite tough, but you do find that there are a lot of games at, you know, Trevor Barker or Moorabbin or wherever it may be.
Well, obviously the Sandy Dragons base now is RSEA Park, so they'll play their home games out of there. I noticed that this week the Geelong Falcons are playing at GMHBA Stadium. I think that's such a good thing as well. These young kids who potentially could get drafted to Geelong or get drafted to St Kilda get the opportunity to play at the home base of that team. I think it's a fantastic thing.
I couldn't agree more. And also, I mean, it is tough on some of these grounds because it can be quite blowy, as we know, down at RSEA Park. But the ground's immaculate. That's what we want to have, conditions that are conducive to good football.
Mm, absolutely. It is a bit of a wind tunnel down there at Trevor Barker that comes straight through. Played a lot of footy down there. So I do love it, though. It's a beautiful part of the world down in Sandringham. All right. First up, you were at Western Jets v the Northern Knights. Now, you did mention... There's a few that are in there that are going to be on the radar throughout the year, but it wasn't a high quality game.
It was interesting, as I said in the first segment. I before I could even sit down, Keaton Ratify Forbes had already hit the scoreboard and had a really fast start for the Jets. They're both relatively undersized teams.
Yep.
A lot of their, I suppose, draftable talent are sort of small defenders or small running halfbacks.
Yep.
In terms of the game itself, it was entertaining, and then Knights sort of kicked away in the last quarter, and I feel a little bit flat for the Jets. They probably didn't deserve to lose by close to 10 goals, but Knights had the wind in the last quarter and sort of kicked some. But there was some really good performances, in particular Thomas Sims.
Five.
Big
bag.
Sort of ruck, physical key forward as well, kicked five and had the 14 touches. He really impressed me as someone who... He's probably not one of those ones who's in the Metro squads or in the National Academies, but he's really come out and announced himself come round one.
Now, throughout the season, and this is going to be a theme throughout the year when we speak, I am a big fan of who do they play like? All right, so let's start it off. An easy one for you. Thomas Sims, who does he remind you of for those listeners out there trying to picture the big ruckman for the Northern Knights?
Now, this guy took a while to come over from an AFL sense. But he's Kieran Briggs.
Like it.
So Kieran Briggs as a junior would intimidate those around him, put the fear of God through them.
Yeah.
A bit like the mummy used to do.
Yep.
Thomas was doing that. He made sure that his presence
physical jumps into the contest and really just goes hard around the ground.
Yeah, but really covered the ground well.
Love
as
that.
Well. So, and the versatility of spots, could play ruck, but could push forward, take a mark and put him through.
Love
as
it.
Well.
That's a great start by you. Really good. Anything else you want to add out of this game?
No, I think both teams can't be, I think Knights will, you know, they'll be around abouts. And I think Jets, like, I know they've obviously had a bit of a tough run the last couple of years, but there are some players there that I think will be drafted. And, you know, I think, you know, with some time, they'll build some wins.
Absolutely. All right. Well, the next game you were down at was at RSEA Park. We mentioned Levi Ashcroft. He was best on ground across the day. Josh Dolan kicking three goals on the afternoon as well. So it was a big win, a 50-point win for the Dragons. What were your observations out of this one?
Well, I know you mentioned the wind tunnel there at RSEA Park.
Oh, yeah, this is,
Well, Cannons made the most of it the first quarter. They banged on four straight, and they were really competitive and showed some really good footy. But to be fair, you need to have eyes in the back of your head when you're watching the Dragons, because there is talent everywhere, so and across every line. So once they got going in the second quarter, they were like a well-oiled machine. They just kicked away. And Cannons, to their defence, they hung in there, but they've just got power across the lines. Like you mentioned Ashcroft, Harrison Oliver, Murphy Reid, these guys coming through the midfield, but also Luke Traynor down back. There was a young defender, Sammy Linder, who did a really good job on Isaac Kakko, who's probably, Kakko would be maybe Cannon's arguably best player, really minimised his influence as well. But they will be a heavily scouted team throughout the year.
They have been for the last couple of years well represented at draft night. I know it's only early, but if you just cast forward a little bit for me, when you've watched that game on the weekend, from your first observations, how many guys are getting drafted in 2024?
You'll laugh, but the talk around the ground was, with agents, with list managers, recruiters, there's 10 to 12 kids out there that are putting their hand up.
That's great representation.
So when you think about there might only be 50 or 60 taking the draft, not too sure. You know, playing for the Dragons actually can be a positive because you will be seen.
And that is a good point, because if most of the talent, if they're all looking at Levi Ashcroft, they're also going to be looking at the other guys, the unheralded guys around the ground. So, you really want to be performing well for the Sandy Dragons, and that's a good start by them. Anything else you want to add on this one?
Well, I was just going to say, JD, you mentioned the APS and the private school footy before. Oakley Chargers and Sandy Dragons in particular need to make sure that they're getting some wins on the board easy, because I'm not sure of the depth of their squad, but a lot of their good players will go back to private school commitments after the term one break.
I find it, having come from a private school setup myself, I am aware of how restricting it is. Now, I was nowhere near playing at a TSC Cup level coming through, but I would have thought if you're a potential high draftee and you're being forced to play private school footy, it's got to be a kick in the guts for not only your team, but for you. I mean, this is your career and your future prospects we're trying to talk about here.
Yeah, the AFL's done a good job in trying to, I suppose, manipulate the Coates League fixture a little bit around the APS, just so that these boys aren't missing a lot of footy. But you're right. I mean, Ashcroft, for example, he'll play the first couple for Sandy. He'll go off and have his Brighton commitments.
Yep.
Then he'll have Vic Metro. So, yeah, you are juggling a lot of football and a lot of different, I suppose, coaching as well.
Yeah, it's a good point. What about the Oakley Chargers and the Eastern Rangers? Oakley, generally, another team that are pretty well represented. They had a 28-point win, a 28-point loss here to the Eastern Rangers. What do you think of this contest?
JD, I don't know what to make of Oakley. I know it is round one, so I don't want to put the end to them. But
yes.
I did go down the week before and watch them play, and now it's probably stacked up the way Sandy's played, but I watched Oakley play a practice match against Sandy Dragons, and I left pretty underwhelmed by Oakley. They obviously had a, from their standards, probably a poor year last year draft-wise. They actually blooded a lot of bottom ages this year, and they will have some guys, you know, picked up this year, like Tommy Gross and Jacob Smith and the like. But I felt like Easton, they hung in there for the first half, but Easton just outworked and really spread the ground well. Probably played a bit loose, the Oakley Chargers defenders at times, and they kicked straight. So that was the one that probably, So, but mind you, Eastern will be right up there when the whips are cracking.
So talk us through the early contender for the number one pick, Josh Smiley. We spoke about him in the first segment there. This time of year, as we said, it sort of works itself out. And generally, I think from early on last year, Harley Reid was the number one prospect right the way through. So what do we like about this guy?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because you're right. I think we're talking about Harley Reid as being the number one pick this time last year, but you've got guys like Josh Smiley, like obviously Jagger Smith, like Finn O'Sullivan. There are plenty of names that are going in the mix, but the way Josh uses the footy, the way he moves, he's quite smooth. He's balanced on both sides of the body. He's really effective with his, obviously, his ball use, and it, very damaging. But you know, even Christian Reyes, he was good yesterday as well.
Absolutely. So it was a 28-point win there for the Eastern Rangers. We've got a little bit of time left, and we will finish on who your player of the weekend was. So have that ready. But anything else you want to add on any of these games that your early observations?
I thought the being round one, the speed of the game, the skill level was quite high. As I said, you know, playing at some of these grounds, it can be quite tough.
Yep.
Now, fortunately, Trevor Barker both days, the breeze wasn't too bad. Obviously, I wasn't out there at Craigieburn, which can also be quite blowy.
Yes.
But I thought it was a very positive start to the year. And I think we've seen, you know, I would have probably seen a couple of names in each team that bobbed up that I didn't see last year. So the depth is certainly there.
Love it. All right. Well, that's a good analysis of the three games that you went to, and you'll be across a few games throughout each weekend. So when we come back this time next week, we'll be able to probably have a look at some similar names, I would have thought. All right, before we go, who was your player of the weekend? Who impressed the most? One we're going to keep an eye on as the year goes on.
Well, I know we've already spoken about him at length, but I was really impressed with Thomas Sims from the Northern Knights. Yep. I just thought when the game was on the line, he really intimidated them and the opposition. He spread the game ground well. He was great up forward, great pair of hands, kicked it well. So I think he's one for me. And what I saw was the player of the weekend for me.
Beautiful. I reckon throughout the year, we might even get you at certain points to give us a sort of a player who's off Broadway, not the big names we're going to talk about all season long who are going to be in the top five, but the diamond in the rough. There's a couple every year. There really is a couple every year that slip through to, I mean, Ari Schoenmaker got through to 60 last year for the Saints. So there's a couple that fall through. So I want you to keep a close eye on a few throughout the year that might just slide through and then could be a bolter.
We might be able to do something retrospectively at the end and just see.
Look back.
When we get to draft night, how many of these boys are picked up. So I will. I'll keep an eye out, but very impressed with Sims.
Good,
first up.
Good man. Very nice start from you to kick things off. We're going to be back each and every week throughout the footy season. I'm looking forward to spending a Wednesday night with you each and every week. John Donohoe, James Pitcher with you. Don't forget, it is Future Stars, thanks to Bravo Management, the player management agency looking after the current and future stars of the AFL and AFLW, such as Darcy Moore and Monique Conti. Until next week, see you later.